Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm Gary Gramling, Chairman of the San Diego City Housing Commission, and I'm calling the November regularly scheduled meeting and the specially scheduled meeting to order. The time is now, according to the clock on the wall, 9:04 a.m. And as usual, I have a few housekeeping comments to make. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. We do request that if you're going to have collective testimony for or against an item, and that each of the speakers speak on something different from what the first person said, so we don't just have a ditto. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker request form as soon as you hear the proposed consent agenda. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form that looks like this before the meeting starts and hand it to the recording secretary, Angie Rosado-Rios, who's over here in the corner. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and speak to the recording secretary, or submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to an item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, please fill out a gold-colored form. And we have a couple of those this morning as well. It's not too late to fill out one if you wish. Once again, it goes to Angie here in the corner. At that point, I am going to open it up for public comment. We received one request from, is it Catherine Rhodes? Okay. Catherine, if you would step there, please speak, push the speak button on there. Introduce yourself. Let us know your name. And you live here in the city of San Diego, where elsewhere, wherever you live. And then go ahead and speak.
Lovely. My name is Catherine Rhodes. I live in Point Loma, and I'm a civil engineer. And what I have as my handout right here is something that I've been actually tracking for a long time. And what this is the successor agency cash flow that's coming in the city of San Diego. Since Civic San Diego is in charge of the successor agency, they don't have to create a budget for the successor agency. What they say is that all they're doing is putting things in the ROTS 1 and ROTS 6 and ROTS 7, and that's how they're saying how much money they have. So anyway, what I found out through my public records request through the county, because you can't do it through the city or the Civic San Diego, is that $524 million in property taxes came into San Diego outside of the budget process. And what happened with that is $145 million went to tax sharing payments. And you can see right here, $61 million went to the County of San Diego. And that, with the 1992 Agreement for Cooperation, that $61 million is supposed to go to the six targeted groups, which are children, seniors, mentally ill, drug and alcohol abuse, like felons, and something that's called general that I call homeless. And then what happened is $165 million in ROTS enforceable obligations were paid. But what happened is, since they didn't use all the money, they lost money. And so they lost $381 million that could have stayed within the city of San Diego. And instead, you know, the city did get $80 million back, but they borrowed $41 million of that from the general fund. And $168 million went to the schools. And when I went to the schools to see if I could find that money coming in and exactly what they used it for, I couldn't find it anywhere on their budget information. And then the next thing that just happened yesterday is a 5-year financial outlook. And what they said there is that before it was going to be $5 million a year, that they're going to have residual TTPs, and now it's tripled that. And so in order to get there, $74.5 million in residuals, when it used to be only $25 million, they have to liquidate $382 million in RPTT cap things instead of Instead of paying down $1.67 million in ROP's enforceable obligations, they're liquidating it basically for the general fund. And
I'm going to ask you to try to wrap up because okay. That makes it to the time.
Correct. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, could you do me a favor? Come back and push the speak button again. And thank you very much. We have another speaker request form from Brian Sharp. Brian?
Same thing.
I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place to do this, but my name is Brian. I'm with Pacific Medical Care. We're a mobile physicians company, mobile diagnostics and lab company as well. I'm trying to get the information out to a lot of the buildings, patients, or residents that have HMO insurance. We have IPA that will give them way more benefits than they're currently getting with Molina or Campers, and also we'll add hearing, dental, and vision on that as well. They'd also be able to keep their treating physician or specialist that they're currently seeing. So that's what I wanted to.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you. I'm not sure this was the correct form, but when I made my announcement, I didn't limit it. I just said items not on the agenda, so you qualify.
Appreciate it.
Okay, now we'll call for commissioner comments. Commissioners, any of you have any comments today?
Okay.
Keeling? I'm sorry, Commissioner Aubrey.
I just wanted to say that I went last month to the Baltimore conference and I got a chance to tour there and do some other things and meet Dalai Mandela, Nelson Mandela's grandson. And it was a great experience. And touring through Baltimore, it showed me the how good San Diego Housing Commission is doing really compared to these other cities. And I was really impressed with us as a city when I saw that. So I just wanted to say that and I enjoyed it very well. Great learning experience.
Thank you. Yeah. Commissioner Hubbard is one of our newest commissioners, and she's been extremely active since she came on to get up to speed, not only locally, but also nationally with the operations of public housing. And she hasn't heard me say this yet, but I was at the same conference, and I talked with a lot of the other commissioners, and she is getting high marks for her interest and her energy in trying to get to speed, and I think you've done a great job so far. Thank you. Seeing no other, I'll ask now for the report by the President and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got three or four very brief remarks. The first is the conference that Ms. Hubbard referenced is an annual meeting of the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials. It's made up of over 20,000 members. It's a nationwide group. This was an annual conference. And I very much appreciate your kind words. I'll also point out that our chairman serves on the commissioners' committee of that national conference. He's one of 40 commissioners from across the country who help set policy for the country and provide for national advocacy, too. So, Gary, thank you for that as well. Three or four local events that have occurred since the last board meeting. On November the 12th, the city announced a new initiative called Housing First San Diego. And we are going to have a workshop on that initiative at the end of this board meeting. Basically, it's a new five-point strategic plan to address homelessness in San Diego over the next 3 years. And it will impact the lives of as many as 1,500 homeless San Diegans in that time. You'll hear more about it later in the morning. I'll point out the Housing Commission did develop that plan, but it very strongly reflects the philosophy and the policy initiatives from both Mayor Faulkner and Council President Gloria. So I'm very pleased with it, and I look forward to that presentation a little bit later this morning. I'll also point out that on October the 30th, the Housing Commission celebrated its 35th anniversary with a partner reception at the new downtown Central Library. And at that anniversary, which was the first of these events that the Housing Commission celebrated, and we may do more, it was a great success. But at that meeting, Council President Gloria presented to the Speaker of the California State Assembly, Tony Atkins, with the Housing Commission Champion Award for her long history of support for affordable housing at both the local and state level. We had over 100 people in attendance. Partners came to help celebrate with us, including Council Member Earl Cole and State Senator Ben Whiteson, as well as representatives from pretty much every elected official in the city and the area. To Maria Velasquez and her staff to put that together, thank you very much. Also, on November the 1st and November the 8th, both of the City of San Diego's emergency winter shelters opened, the downtown shelter on the 1st and the veterans shelter midway on the 8th. As you recall, the Housing Commission, since 2010, has played the role of administrator of these facilities and administers the contracts ongoing. I will point out that also within the next couple of weeks or so, we will be issuing a request for proposals for a permanent replacement facility to replace the Sprung shelters. This is at the direction of City Council back in September when they adopted the winter shelters for this year. And we're going to test the marketplace and see what's out there. So hopefully we'll have a report back for you on that by the end of the year, at least on the issuance of the RFP. Responses, of course, will be later after the first of the year. Also, major good news. The Housing Commission received an award of $1 million from the California Department of Housing and Community Development's 2014 awards for the Local Housing Trust Fund Program, which helps to create and preserve affordable housing. This was a competitive award. We were one of only 7 awardees out of 17 applications that were submitted for 2014 funding. So this is a big vote of confidence from the state for what we do. We will include this award as part of, and you'll hear about this in the workshop again on the Housing for San Diego, but we're going to include this award, this $1 million, as the first of the $10 million that we're committing in 2015 for permanent supportive housing under our Housing for San Diego action plan. And I think this award speaks very highly of our real estate division, Debbie Ruane, Ann Kern, their team, who always do a wonderful job pulling money in here. And ladies, thank you very much. Wonderful work. Also, in closing, one other item that we've just initiated, we launched something we're calling our landlord portal on our website this month for landlords whose tenants receive federal housing choice voucher or Section 8 rental assistance. The landlords can now access their account information with us online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through this portal. They can review inspection results on their properties, which we do on an annual or semi-annual basis. Usually within one business day, they can review their ledger balance, unit information, and more. And it serves an important element of transparency for us and our business partners, and it is the real estate community that makes our Section 8 program work by making units available to our customers. I'd like to say thank you to Susana Balladuri. To Zayma Balladuri, Vice President of Rental Assistance for the team, who worked together with our IT VP, Carrie Clements, and his team, and our communications team under Maria Velasquez, and of course, it was too modest to put his name down here, Jeff Davis, to make sure the whole thing came together. But I think this is a good example of the business-like service that the Housing Commission has put together to deal with our customers in the community, both vendors in this case and program participants. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, now I'd like to propose the consent agenda for today's meeting. I'm proposing that items 50, 100, 101, 102, and 105 be moved to the consent agenda. It's been moved approval of the proposed consent agenda. Is there a second? Okay, so Commissioners Bertussin and Hubbard have moved and seconded the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? I'm going to have one small discussion item, and that is just as a highlight. Item 102, which I'm proposing that we have on the consent agenda. I just want to thank the staff of the entire Housing Commission and management, because that's workman's comp. And our workman's comp contract this year is actually a 10% reduction from what it was previously. And that only gets accomplished because of the outstanding work habits and work performance of our personnel. And so just, you know, once again, a thank you and kudos to everyone who helped make that happen. So with that, I'm going to call the question on the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda has been approved unanimously. So our first item is item 103, and it says our standard function is that we ask for a staff report, but in this particular case, the staff was actually the evaluation and performance review committee of the board. And that committee consisted of myself, Vice Chairman Spoon, and Commissioner Tussin. And we met on multiple occasions, plus had multiple discussions, asking for additional research information, and have come up with the recommendation for the number one, for the performance approval of our president and CEO, Mr. Gentry. And we've also come together with a salary package that we're recommending for approval by this board. Okay. Council, do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, just briefly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As to process, going back to 1991, our office has served as general counsel with the San Diego Housing Commission, and I've done some research before that time. A similar process was held concerning compensation establishment for the then executive director, now CEO, president CEO of the commission. That process is in two parts. One part is a closed session review. That closed session review and evaluation of the CEO was done on October the 10th and by the entire board. Before that review, the ad hoc committee got together and made recommendations for that review. The review was held and completed and reported out in open session as required by the Brown Act. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussions whatsoever were held in closed session concerning compensation. That's to be held under California law in open session only. So today, before the board is a report, item 103 today, Housing Commission Report 14-102, which is a compilation of recommendations that were unanimous by the ad hoc committee. Our office served to just craft the report based upon information that was given to us and direction that was given to us by the ad hoc committee. The report has the recommendations. It says staff recommendations. It really should have said ad hoc committee recommendations. Those are items 1 through 5. There's a summary. This board under Mr. Gentry was hired as the CEO, president and CEO of the Housing Commission in 2008 after a nationwide search and interview of nationwide search where there were multiple people that applied, over 17 as I recall. And then there was a closed session hearing had, a joint closed session hearing had between the Housing Authority and the Housing Commission where 3 finalists were interviewed. As a result of that interview process, Mr. Gentry was selected and a contract was negotiated in 2008. That contract was approved by the Housing Authority unanimously. That contract provides, in part, that annually the salary and full compensation package for the CEO is to be determined by this board. So for the last, and actually going back through 1991, that process has been followed repeatedly. So that's what we're here to do today. On structure of the report, Mr. Gentry's performance evaluation highlights, and these are only highlights, go for pages 2, 3, 4, 5, and on to page 6 of items that were accomplished during this period. The conclusion was, in short, the president and CEO achieved all of the goals set for him by the board in an outstanding/excellent manner. In addition, HUD requires that a survey be done of salaries and bonuses and compensation each year. That was done. There's a matrix set forth in the report on page 7 that shows the top 15 salaries across the United States of housing authorities. This is a little bit dated information because HUD's information is dated. This goes back through the 2012 period. If you looked at it, it'll show that the CEO was ranked 14th in compensation in the United out of the housing authorities that were reported. In addition, there was an executive compensation matrix package that was prepared and it's attached as Exhibit 1 in accordance with HUD requirements. So, Mr. Chair, that would conclude the preliminary comments that I have. The matter is now before the full board for action.
Okay, and just as an addition to counsel's statement, rather than go through the myriad of pages that we have and the details here, all of this is accessible through our website. And so, it's full public disclosure of what the discussions have been and what the background is. Okay. Having said that, we have a speaker request form on the subject, and that's from Michelle Hawkinson. And Michelle,
yes.
Once again, push the little button up there and identify yourself, please.
Hi, my name's Michelle Hawkinson. I've been with the San Diego Housing Commission for 15 years. I'm a senior housing assistant. And I'm speaking today to you as an officer of SEIU Local 221. The union represents the SDHC line staff. We are proud to help expand affordable housing opportunities to the San Diegans every day, and we are also proud to help the work for an organization that is the forefront of eradicating homelessness throughout San Diego. We are speaking today to express our concern about compensation above salary in two areas. Today's proposed bonus to Mr. Gentry and the performance incentive system. The membership of SEIU believes the performance incentives and bonuses are appropriate to reward outstanding public service for all employees, including both management and line staff. They are both part of the contract and available for management as well. However, the performance incentive system has disproportionately rewarded management employees as compared to line staff. Therefore, we are recommending the board do a full evaluation of the incentive system of all staff from top to bottom to ensure there is a fair opportunity for all employees to assess incentives. Management staff gets at least 3 times as much in incentive money as line staff, and we think the board should ask why. We think the board should look at cases where line staff did not get incentives and their supervisors did. Finally, we believe an analysis should be done of the percentage of staff that receives incentives by job classification to see if any patterns emerge. If the board sees fit to increase Mr. Gentry's salary and compensation, then we support their decision. But since there's a problem with the equity of the bonus and performance incentive system, we think that you should hold off on a vote for Mr. Gentry's bonus until an evaluation has been conducted. On behalf of the SEIU members that are proud to serve this agency, we thank you.
And thank you. That's the only speaker request form that I received on that particular subject. And what I can say is you've made some, brought up some interesting points. And I think we will take, at least take under consideration in terms of some of the points that you've made. I guess my most immediate response is, as it pertains to your suggestion or your request for today, is that, as counsel mentioned when he was outlining the process, the contract that was entered into between the Housing Authority, the Housing Commission, and Mr. Gentry is totally separate and apart from the overall personnel policies and compensation schedules, including bonuses, for the rest of management and staff. And it was not intended, as I see it, and counsel certainly welcome to disagree with me, but I don't believe it was intended that Mr. Gentry's compensation or bonus arrangements were to be considered as part of that same package that it does for the rest of management and the rest of staff. And so, I guess I should have opened for discussion first, and maybe this is my discussion part. The rest of the board is certainly welcome to disagree with me. This is only my particular suggestion, is that I'm going to vote that we go ahead and vote on the entire subject of the compensation and bonus plan and not parcel it out on that. So, but thank you again. And as I say, you've made some interesting points that are worthy of discussion as we look forward. Thank you. Now, is there any, officially I can't ask for discussion until I spoke out of turn. Until I ask for a motion. Is there a motion on the request?
Second.
Commissioner Spoon has moved approval of the item as submitted by the personnel or by the
committee?
Compensation Committee. And that motion has been seconded by Commissioner Tussin. Now, is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. And once again, Mr. Gentry, thank you for your outstanding performance over the last year.
Thank you all very much.
We're going to hold you accountable to do the same thing or better next year.
I have no doubt about that part, Mr. Chairman, and it is an honor to be here, and thank you all very much. I appreciate the relationship. Thank you.
Next is item 104, the annual finance audit report. Ladies.
Good morning. I'm Leslie Levinson, the new CFO of the San Diego Housing Commission, and very excited to be here. I started with the commission on October 28th. I'd also like to introduce Tracy McDermott. She's our Director of Grants and Compliance, and she's been the interim CFO for about the last 3 months. So Tracy is with me as well. Cohen Resnick, our external auditors, completed the audit at the Housing Commission on October 30th. The audits included the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is referred to as the CAFR, the Single Audit, or A-133 report, the audits on the San Diego Housing Commission's
three LLCs, as well as two additional audits required by lenders for project-specific audits. The prior CFO, Nicole DeBerg, left on August 26th. Even with the departure in the midst of the audit went very smoothly. The audit was completed without an issue. And thank you to Tracy McDermott and the entire finance team for doing such an excellent job. The audit partner from Cohn Resnick stated to me that there were no bumps when Nicole left. The finance team did an excellent job, and it was during this time of transition when we converted our audit, our finance systems, our entire systems to Yardi on July 1st, 2013. So this was the first year on an entirely new system, which can always be extremely challenging, and the finance team did a great job. The audit partner was extremely complimentary. The results of the audit included an unmodified opinion, no management letter comments, and no findings on A133, which is an excellent result. And I'm going to turn it over to Tracy now to go over some more details and the numbers. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Moving on to our financial results overview, in fiscal year 2014, the Housing Commission's workforce numbered 274 employees, and the organization received total revenues of $229.3 million. The significant majority of our funding comes from federal grants. However, in fiscal year 2014, we were grateful for the award of $2.9 million in the City of San Diego general funds for the operation of the Single Adult and Veterans Emergency Shelters and Associated Services. San Diego Housing Commission's total fiscal year 2014 expenditures were $216.4 million. Significant expenditures of $8.3 million were made for the Hotel Churchill Rehabilitation Project. Also, the Housing Commission's expenditures to many programs addressing homelessness in the City of San Diego exceeded $16 million. We will discuss these efforts in more detail later in this presentation. Revenues exceeded expenses by $12.9 million in the fiscal year 2014, demonstrating the Housing Commission's fiscal responsibility. This graph provides you with a snapshot of the Housing Commission's revenue sources. The primary sources of revenue are housing assistance and other grants, as well as dwelling rental income generated from the Housing Commission's rental housing portfolio. Revenues increased by $0.8 million in fiscal year 2014 due to a slight increase in other operating revenues, which helped to offset the decreasing housing assistance grant revenue impacted by sequestration. Here we have a graph of the San Diego Housing Commission's fiscal year 2014 total expenses, which increased by $9.2 million, or 4%, over fiscal year 2013. This increase is primarily due to the $8.3 million in grant expense towards the Hotel Churchill Rehabilitation Project and additional grant expenditures for homeless programs. However, program cost reductions generated by the implementation of Path to Success, along with sequestration-related program funding reductions, decreased housing assistance expense by $3.6 million. Net position is a useful indicator of an entity's financial position. And as of June 30, 2014, San Diego Housing Commission's total assets exceeded total liabilities by $457 million. As you can see, notes and mortgages receivable constitute the largest asset category at 44% of total assets. The majority of the Housing Commission's net assets are reserved for future programmatic expenses. Our operating expenses that relate to our affordable housing services to the citizens of San Diego have been increasing consistently over the years,
Despite the challenges brought to us by the current economic environment, the San Diego Housing Commission is looking forward to maintaining a consistent level of quality, affordable housing services. As a supplement to the financial results I just presented, I would like to take a brief moment to provide you with a few operational highlights in the Rental Assistance Division and the Achievement Academy during fiscal year 2014. In the interest of time, I'll let these accomplishments speak for themselves. Moving on to the Real Estate and Housing Innovation Divisions, here are a few more statistics that we are proud of. Homelessness was one of the primary areas of focus for the Housing Commission again in fiscal year 2014 and involved all operational and support divisions of the Housing Commission. This chart details the expenditures made by San Diego Housing Commission in fiscal year 2014 to assist homeless San Diegans, which totaled over $16 million. We again acknowledge the organizations which provide the funding for the homeless programs for which we operate and administer. Unless there are any more questions, this concludes my overview of the fiscal year 2014 financial audit report. I would like to take this time to thank Commissioner Spinn for her support during this process. Thank you.
Commissioners, any comments and questions? Commissioner Spinn?
Thank you very much. That was a tremendous presentation. I'm the chair of the audit committee, and I participate in the process of the audit by being in touch with the auditors. We have biweekly phone calls to stay in touch with staff and with the audit team to make sure everything is on track as we go along. We started that procedure several years ago, and we find that it works very well. So if any issues arise throughout the course of the audit, we're able to resolve them within 1 or 2 weeks, rather than being surprised at the end of the audit. So it's the audit procedure this year, the audit process was absolutely outstanding. It was startling to learn that our CFO was leaving prior to the audit. I thought, what could be worse than that? As it went, it was absolutely smooth. There were no bump. There was not one bump. And the partner on the audit engagement, certainly after the end of the audit meeting, complimented Tracy and the entire finance team for just stepping up to the plate, and there was not one issue. There were no management letter points that were even discussed. Generally speaking, the auditors feel compelled to find a few things that they need to talk about, procedures that could be changed or could be reported. But there was absolutely not one issue that they brought forward to us. So it was an outstanding audit this year, and I compliment you, Tracy, on your performance stepping up to the plate, and thank you very much to you and your team. It was outstanding. The audit committee met the end of October, the 27th, and we accepted the audit, and we voted to bring it forward to the full board for approval. The financial statements, the CAFR, was due at the city at the end of October, October 30th, so the controller at the city has had it since that time. This audit gets rolled up and consolidated with the city's audit, so we're sort of bound by their time schedule. After today's vote, if this board so chooses to accept it, it will move forward to the Housing Authority, and Tracy and Leslie will present this report, among others, to the city in mid-January. Is that correct? So, again, thank you very much for your just stellar performance this year. And I would like to make a motion to move to accept the audit.
Okay, so we move to accept the audit. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. Commissioner Tussin indicated comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. question to Leslie or Tracy. Is somebody from Colin Resnick here?
They are not today.
Is it your understanding that they expressed an opinion that these financial statements fairly represent the condition of the Housing Commission?
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a reminder, we've received an unmodified opinion.
I understand. Okay.
All right. Before I call the question, I'm going to make a couple of additional comments, and that is regarding Commissioner Spoon, who was very modest about her contributions to a successful completion of the audit. For those of you who don't know, Commissioner Spoon is one of the most experienced and respected forensic auditors in the entire county. I don't know how she stands in the entire state, but I know she's extremely highly regarded. And having been here a little bit longer than she has, I can tell you that the improvements to our overall financial accounting systems have been improved tremendously because of her tireless efforts and contributions in working with the staff as the staff has changed and just
creating a
better overall environment. So, Commissioner Spoon,
thank you.
Okay, I'm going to call the question before my speaker shuts off again.
All
in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the audit report has been approved unanimously. Thank you very much. And if my speaker is being sabotaged, don't worry. I can speak loud enough to be heard anywhere in this room. Okay, item 106, loan recommendation, preliminary items regarding multifamily housing revenue bonds for Mission Gorge apartments. Senior Vice President Ruane.
Good morning, Chair Grambling and Commissioners. Before the next two staff presentations, I want to acknowledge the direction given to us by the Board regarding your request for additional information on construction costs and to give you an update. We're working diligently to provide you with the information you requested. Immediately following your direction in September, our President and CEO convened a task force of the most active affordable housing developers in San Diego. They would be Chelsea Investment Corporation, Affirmed, Community Housing Works, Wakeland, and HDP. And we presented them with a draft review form template that would show construction costs, market rate versus affordable, and are working with them actively going back and forth on this form so that it will become an integral part of all future board reports so that you will be able to see a side-by-side comparison. We plan to present that to the Real Estate Committee the next time we convene, which we hope will be in December, and get your input before it goes live. We're also in the initial stages of engaging a highly influential and very well-connected liaison in Sacramento. And we had a very good conversation yesterday, and we feel strongly that we're going to be able to engage them in short order. And in the meantime, what we've got is two presentations that we're bringing to you for your consideration, and they are being brought before you because they are time-sensitive, and they do not include that spreadsheet, which is not yet complete. One is Mission Gorge Apartments, and the other is Pacific Highlands Ranch. The CEO and developer on both of these is Jim Schmidt with Chelsea Investment Corporation, and he couldn't be here today, but Matt Gross, project manager, is. And our team has been working with us on this. Jim Schmidt is also actively working on this, both at a local, state, and at the BIA level on construction costs, so we're very happy to have him as part of the task force. Both of these deals, we feel, are in the low end of the construction cost range based on comparables. As you'll see, Mission Gorge comes in at $165 a square foot, which is extremely low considering what you've seen. And the Pacific Highlands Ranch is a two-story walk-up that's $113 a square foot. Staff is here to give you their presentations, and we want you to know that we're excited about the opportunity to delve more fully into the construction cost issue. And we recognize it's bigger than us. It's actually not just a local issue. It's a state and possibly even a national. Mr. Gentry, do you want to add anything?
No,
I do beg the chairman's permission. Just to add a couple of comments, I heard you all loud and clear back in September about the cost issues for some of the tax credit deals that we are participants in. And we have, as Mr. Wayne said, we have initiated the process with our most frequent developer partners here in the city. They, too, are frustrated with some of the cost issues they're confronted with. We have engaged a state professional association. We are developing the inroads into Sacramento where I think you all have more faith than I did that we get state law changed. So we're going to, state practice changed at least. So we're going to do our best to try. We're also, as Mr. Wayne said, in the middle of developing a formal instrument that will do a comparison. That's not quite done at this point, but these two properties, it is the staff's estimation that, and mine, that the costs are within a reasonable range, and so that's why we're bringing them to you without the formal comparison spreadsheet.
Thank you. Excuse me, Ann Kern. Oh, sorry, my voice is pretty bad. Vice President of Housing Finance and Program Development. I'll just turn it over to Ted for the presentation. Thank you. Ted Miyahara, Director of Housing Finance.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Today's recommendations to the Board include recommend Housing Authority approval of a receipt or receipts loan for up to $9.6 million, take initial steps to issue multifamily housing revenue bonds, approve bond counsel and financial advisor, approve entry into an option agreement to purchase the site adjacent to the proposed development for $1, and authorize the president and CEO or designee to execute all documents, adjust financing terms and conditions as necessary, and substitute funding sources as deemed appropriate. Mission Gorge is a proposed 90-unit new construction project located in a Navajo community plan area. The site is located on Mission Gorge Road. It is north of Highway 8 and east of the 15th. The site is bordered by single-family and multifamily housing. The transaction includes the purchase of two parcels of land, each with separate zoning designations. The seller received multiple offers and narrowed down their selection to two developers. The seller's broker contacted Housing Commission staff during their selection process. The seller considered sales price, developer qualifications, and ability to perform. Chelsea presented terms acceptable to the seller and was selected over a market rate developer. Chelsea proposes to develop Parcel A, which currently allows up to 90 units. Parcel B is narrow and consists of sloping hillside. Site constraints make the site infeasible to develop without additional cap financing. Parcel B is also requiring a community plan amendment. Parcel B will remain vacant. Staff has negotiated the option to purchase Parcel B for $1 and will conduct due diligence investigations and determine if the site is viable for future Housing Commission use. Commission Gorge Apartments is designed as three stories of housing over subterranean parking. The unit mix includes studios, one, two, and three bedrooms. Common areas include a multi-purpose recreation room, podium courtyard, and separate outdoor recreation area. The project will have a service coordinator providing free services to residents. The project will comply with sustainability guidelines, the Housing Commission sustainability guidelines. Chelsea Investment Corporation is the developer and proposes to partner with Southern California Housing Collaborative. Chelsea has a portfolio of over 6,500 units. They currently have 335 units under construction in San Diego. Total development cost is approximately $29 million and will be financed with tax credit equity, tax-exempt bonds, Housing Commission loan, deferred developer fees, and soft loan interest. Total development cost per unit is approximately $323,000. Rents will be restricted to 50 and 60% of the area median income for a 55-year term. There are only 9 affordable housing units in the Navajo Community Plan area. Mission Gorge Apartments will increase Navajo's affordable housing stock substantially. Emerson Construction, an affiliate of Chelsea, will construct the project. The project will be competitively bid to local subcontractors. Housing Commission staff has negotiated the option to purchase the project at the end of the 15-year tax credit compliance period. The developer will apply for 4% tax credits in May, and if successful, will break ground in the fall of 2015. Matt Gross from Chelsea is here to answer any questions. That concludes our presentation.
Commissioner Gossett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ted, is that $323,000 per unit? That includes land costs as well, right?
It does, yes.
Any other commissioners have a question, comment? First of all, thank you very much for your presentation. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move staff's recommendation. Just one other quick question, Ted. This is the project that came in at $165 per square foot?
Yes.
For construction costs?
Yes, and compared to recent projects, it's on the lower end on a square foot basis.
Good, thank you.
Okay, the proposal has been moved to approval by Commissioner Tussin. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. We'll move forward. Item 107.
On item 107 again, I'm Ann Kern, Vice President of Housing Finance and Program Development in the Real Estate Department. With me is Cameron Shariati, Assistant Real Estate Manager, and Cameron will be providing you a presentation on the final bond authorization for Pacific Highlands Ranch, Unit 24.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. Chair Grambling. Item 107 is a request that the Housing Commission recommend the Housing Authority authorize the issuance of up to $18.4 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds for the land acquisition and development of Pacific Highlands Ranch Unit 24, also known as Rancho del Sol, in addition to approval of a waiver of the requirement in Section 4.4A of the Housing Commission's bond policy that privately placed bonds may only be purchased by institutional accredited investors. The project is a 96-unit multifamily development to be located in the Pacific Highlands Ranch subarea of the future urbanizing area. On a 6-acre site north of State Route 56 and south of Carmel Valley Road, the site would consist of 8 separate 2-story multi-unit buildings. On-site amenities would include a recreation center consisting of a swimming pool, barbecue areas, and a community building, as well as on-site laundry facilities and a leasing office. The unit mix is comprised of 16 one-bedroom units, 48 two-bedroom units, 31 three-bedroom units, and a manager's unit. The development would restrict 10% of the units to households at or below 50% of area median income and 90% of the units to households at or below 60% of area median income. Chelsea Investment Corporation is the developer for the project and will also act as administrative general partner. Pacific Southwest Development Corporation will serve as managing general partner. Chelsea's development of the project will partially satisfy inclusionary affordable housing requirements for the master developer's market rate developments in the subarea. The project is among the remaining 433 units, affordable units to be built out in the subarea. The combined development cost for the project will be approximately $24.6 million. The developer is requesting the issuance of up to $18.4 million in tax-exempt debt to be structured as a senior note and a junior subordinate bond. Other sources of funding include tax credit equity, a master developer note, and a deferred developer fee. The tax-exempt obligations would not constitute a debt of the city, and the bonds will not financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission because security for the repayment of the obligations will be limited to specific private revenue sources of the project. The developer expects to close financing and start construction sometime in January. The estimated completion date for the project is May of 2016. This concludes our presentation, and we also have Matt Gross from Chelsea here to answer any questions. Thank you.
And what was the per square foot cost of this?
$112 a square foot for us.
How many square feet?
It's 100, approximately 112,000 square feet of gross.
And the total cost was at almost $25 million.
Correct, $24.6 million.
Can you break that down then?
Of the $24.6 million, acquisition costs come to $1.7 million approximately. Hard costs come to approximately $12.1 million. Soft costs come to $6.1 million. Financing costs are approximately $1.1 million. Operating reserve is at about $250,000, and the developer fee is $2.5 million.
Ted, aside from the engineering and architectural design, what all is in that $6.1 million soft costs?
$6.1 million soft costs include things like legal costs, I'm going to let Matt answer that question.
I know it's design.
Right. This is Matt Grove, Chelsea Investment Corporation. Right. So all your soft costs include your architectural and engineering fees, your legal fees. Reserves many times are in that line item. Legal counsel, tax credit application fees. There's a multitude of things. And that's one of the areas I would say that when you compare a market rate transaction to an affordable, you see affordable be more expensive.
That's why you zeroed in on it. That sounded high.
Commissioner Tessa?
No further questions.
Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved.
It's been moved approval by Commissioner Tessa. Is there a second? Commissioner Smith has moved and seconded the motion. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal, please indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. Thank you. I've got to catch up with us here. Okay, then item 108, Housing First San Diego, San Diego Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan. I have two speaker request forms, I believe, here. Wrong one. There. And one of them came in on the wrong form, so I'm not sure if Simone Ruff is speaking in favor or against. In favor. Okay. I'm going to let both of these speakers speak before I ask for the presentation from staff. Okay? All right. Michael McConnell. Please, push the little button there.
Thank you for your time. I'm a San Diego downtown resident, a longtime San Diego business owner, a member of Funders Together to End Homelessness, which is the only organization of grant makers nationally that are primarily focused on solving homelessness. I would like to thank you very much for making homelessness a priority and for your leadership on this issue. I'd like to also applaud you for this Housing First San Diego plan. I've had colleagues from all across the country reach out to congratulate San Diego for having a housing agency that's so progressive and is leading on this issue. And I just felt it was important to thank you and let you know that it is supported and we truly appreciate having this housing agency lead on the issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Simone, need to introduce yourself.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Yes. I'm Simone Ruff. I'm the director of the San Diego Office of the Corporation for Supportive Housing. And I think Michael McConnell and I have similar point writers. Really want to commend the leadership of the San Diego Housing Commission on their Housing First Homelessness Action Plan. The leadership, the innovation, the use of the resources is something to be commended and is being recognized across the country. So thank you for the leadership and showing the way in effective strategies to make a significant difference in ending homelessness in San Diego. So I really wanted to commend you and thank you for your leadership.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gentry, you want to say something?
Yes, sir. I'd like to make just a couple of preliminary remarks before Mr. Davis and Mr. Wayne do the formal presentation. To put this in context. Earlier this year, in January, the Housing Commission adopted a strategic plan, a rolling two-year strategic plan going forward. And part of that strategic plan was the recognition that there would be subsets to follow. And so this homelessness action plan is a subset of the larger strategic plan that you all kicked off in 2013 and that you all adopted in January of 14. As such, what we're going to be presenting this morning reflects your policy direction to me, as well as the interest of both Mayor Faulkner and Council President Gloria. And I think we have a convergence of thought here and a convergence of interest and a convergence of mission, if you will, that the area of homelessness is a primary area in which the Housing Commission needs to play a leading role. As such, the details of this action plan was developed by staff, and I'll go ahead and say to my staff out there, thank you very much. Everything in here came from the staff ranks, but it reflects the direction that you all have set, and I think it reflects a healthy function for this agency. And I want to thank the board for being very clear about what it expects us to accomplish here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Jeff, Debbie, I'm being informal now. So if you would speak up.
Good morning, Commissioners. Debbie Verwain, Senior Vice President, Real Estate Division. On Wednesday, November 12th, we unveiled Housing First San Diego, the San Diego Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan, which will impact the lives of as many as 1,500 homeless San Diegans over the next 3 years. Housing First San Diego follows the National Housing First model for addressing homelessness, which is to provide homeless individuals with housing as quickly as possible with supportive services as needed. It is a truly collaborative strategic homeless plan which targets local, state, and federal funds. Plus, the public also has an important role to play in making Housing First San Diego a model for other cities to emulate. These are its 5 points. One, develop funds available up to $30 million. Two, up to 1,500 federal rental assistance vouchers. Three, Hotel Churchill, 72 units of permanent supportive housing. Four, invest moving to work federal funds to acquire property. And five, San Diego Housing Commission-owned housing units. And with that, I will turn it over to me.
Was that difficult?
I actually said that. Thank you, Debbie. The first component, development funds available up to $30 million. Over the next 3 years, the San Diego Housing Commission will award up to $30 million to create permanent supportive housing rental units for homeless individuals and families. These permanent supportive housing units will remain affordable for at least 55 years. Last week, we announced the first $10 million of these available funds, and we're calling on developers, service providers, and other potential funding partners to apply their creativity and ingenuity to develop proposals that serve homeless veterans and families or youth aging out of the foster system. Current funding sources include Federal Home Investment Partnership Program funds, the City of San Diego's Inclusionary Housing Fund, and the Housing Trust Fund. Sorry, I'm losing my space. The Housing Commission was awarded $1 million from the California Local Housing Trust Fund and funders together to end homelessness and provided up to $240,000 for operational expenses. And the Housing Commission will award up to 300 federal housing vouchers in the first year. The second component to Jeff.
Good morning, Commissioners. The second component of our Housing for San Diego Action Plan is the commitment of a total of 1,500 federal rental assistance vouchers over the next 3 years. And these are going to help additional homeless individuals and families in the city, meaning that 1,500 homeless San Diego families will have stable permanent housing. This is all possible because back on April 9th, 2010, the Housing Commission laid the foundation for implementing this Housing First model here in San Diego. The Housing Commission was one of the first public housing agencies in the country to ask permission from HUD to use federal rental assistance vouchers to provide long-term housing for chronically homeless individuals. These housing vouchers will provide much-needed rental assistance for low-income tenants, all with incomes below $33,180 a year for one person. That's important. Low-income tenants will pay a portion of their income toward rent. Federal funds will pay the rest of the rent amount. These housing vouchers will begin to go to work early next year and will have an estimated annual value of $15 million. Some examples of where these vouchers will be used include four major downtown affordable housing developments that will be completed in the next 2 years. For example, the Churchill, where homeless veterans and youth aging out of foster care will live. The Celadon at 9th and Broadway, which is expected to be completed in early 2015. There, adults and youth aging out of foster care systems will be among the residents. Alpha Square will include permanent housing for homeless adults when it is completed in the fall of 2015. And Atmosphere will be completed in 2016 also, providing permanent supportive housing for homeless adults. We also have a commitment to help chronically homeless veterans. More than 200 homeless veterans will be able to obtain housing and supportive services they need because of federal rental assistance vouchers recently allocated to the Housing Commission. These vouchers for veterans bring together the Housing Commission, HUD, and the VA to help the men and women who have served this country and need assistance to get back on their feet. Additionally, 108 federal sponsor-based housing vouchers are committed to nonprofit organizations, and they will provide supportive services also to homeless individuals. And last, but certainly not least, as Debbie mentioned, the Housing Commission will award 300 federal rental assistance housing vouchers for permanent supportive housing in each year of the Housing First San Diego through the NOFA system. Debbie.
The third component is the $17 million renovation of the Hotel Churchill, which you can see out the window. This is expected to be completed in early 2016. This historic building will be home to 56 homeless veterans, 8 youth aging out of the foster care system, and another 8 adults who will also need supportive services. This is a great example of Housing First and shows what we can achieve with the creative combination of funding, rental assistance, and partnerships that will come from the $30 million for permanent supportive housing. It is providing homeless San Diegans first with a roof over their heads, and once they're in a safe place, we help them rebuild their lives by offering the health care and services that they may need. The Churchill is a partnership with the Housing Commission's nonprofit affiliate, Housing Development Partners, Civic San Diego, which provided a $3 million loan, the County of San Diego Mental Health Department, which provided $1.8 million from the Mental Health Services Act program for supportive services, and the United States Department of Veterans Affairs for case management. The renovation of the Churchill is also being built with more than $11 million of federal monies. More than 8.2 million of these federal funds come from the Moving to Work Rental Assistance Program. An additional 2.9 million come from the Home Investment Partnerships Program. Jeff?
So building on that example of the Hotel Churchill, the fourth component of Housing for San Diego is to take advantage of the Housing Commission's Moving to Work Status of Excellence. Our MTW status allows us to create innovative ways to provide housing assistance to low-income San Diegans. With this, we are able to commit up to $15 million in MTW funds that will be used to acquire a property of more than 100 units. And we commit that up to 20% of these units, not up to, we commit 20% of these units will be made available as permanent supportive housing units for the homeless.
And the final component, we will set aside 25 of our own affordable rental units to temporarily provide homes for homeless individuals and families. This is a continuing commitment of 25 units valued at approximately $348,000 a year. While many of our homeless programs emphasize support services, some individuals and families may need only a roof over their heads as they work to rebuild their lives. The Housing Commission will be one of the first public housing agencies in the nation to commit affordable rental housing that it owns. Housing Commission units located throughout the city of San Diego will be used for this effort beginning January 1st, 2015. Tenants will pay up to 30% of their income, whatever that may be, towards rent. Prospective tenants will be identified in referrals from the new Coordinated Assessment and Housing Placement System, which all homeless service providers in downtown San Diego are now using. Participants in this program will be eligible for housing for up to a period of 18 months. The Housing Commission will waive security deposits, provide a utility allowance, and will direct participants to case management if they need it. The goal is to help our homeless San Diegans get back on their feet quickly and move on to renting an apartment of their own. And anyone can help. These units will have basic furnishings such as beds, a dining table, and chairs. We're seeking financial contributions to offset these costs and other related household items. And we're asking for contributors to get in touch with us by email at housingfirstsandiego@sbhc.org.
In closing, in January, the Regional Task Force on the Homeless counted more than 2,400 homeless individuals living without shelter in our city. This Housing Commission Action Plan gets us closer than ever to solving homelessness in San Diego. Lastly, this was a very collaborative effort. There are too many partners and staff to mention now by name, but we are particularly proud of the staff here at the Housing Commission for their energy and for their truly progressive ideas. Thanks for your attention, and one last note, we have provided you with a written report on the plan, which I believe we have before you, and it also will be posted on our website shortly after this meeting. Thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Commissioner Dussel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clearly a very impressive and comprehensive program that you guys have put together, and I congratulate you for that. Just, you know, one question. It's heavily reliant on federal funds to be able to keep this program going. What's the prospects of those funds staying in place in future years?
This is where everyone looks to me, Mr. Tussin. I think relatively good. I think if you look, and the key to that was the decision this agency made 7 years ago to convert most of its public housing to Section 8 vouchers. Through all of the financial turmoil that we've been through in the last 6 years or so, this agency in 1 year lost 723 vouchers out of a total of almost 15,000 at the time. And that's the only loss we have experienced during that time period directly to us. Now, the federal home program, which is the bulk of this $30 million that Debbie mentioned, has been under assault federally as well. In fact, that program was actually reduced by half of the appropriations, that is, about 2.5 years ago. And all of these monies are under assault. But I think that this agency has as much control over its financial destiny as any such agency in the country. So we will do what we have money to do with. And if there are pressures on these funding resources, they won't affect just us. They'll affect every city in the country.
I might add that one of the components that gives us a lot of flexibility in our ability to respond to this is the fact that we are in the WIRB designated agency. There's only 37 of the hundreds, if not thousands, of housing authorities in the country that are so designated. And it does give us a lot more flexibility in the utilization of the funds. So that's very helpful. Mr. Gentry?
Thank you for mentioning that, Mr. Chairman. In that regard, I am part of a seven-member subcommittee of those moving to work agencies under doing negotiating with HUD right now. In fact, I'll be back in Washington dealing with this issue next month. Right now, the moving to work program formally runs out in 2018, which seems like a long way away, but it's just around the corner programmatically. The HUD secretary can, with the stroke of a pen, extend that for those participating agencies 10 years to 2028. And he has indicated he will do so. We're going through the negotiation process now to get the details just right. And it is the Movement to Work or MTW designation that gives us the flexibility to use our monies this way, or else without that flexibility, we would not be able to come up with this scope, this kind of scope of activities for you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, then. Jeff, Debbie, thank you very much for the presentation. More importantly, make sure that your staff is aware of how much we appreciate the time and effort that they put into this as well.
I do want to put a plug into the communications department. This is a gorgeous report, and Maria Velasquez and her team did a beautiful job with it.
Let me do an amen to that. There are two elements to being successful. One is being good. The other one is making sure everybody knows you're good. And Maria is very good at that latter good thing. And if you look at the material here, this is professional, first-rate quality, everybody's standard. And Maria does a great job making us look good, as we are.
Thank you again. Maria, did you want to stand up and just be recognized? Okay. On that note, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned.